Well, good morning, everyone. So now we will give an introduction to the inner aspect of the Seder night and the Haggadah, which you follow in the Seder night. And we'll begin with chapter 12 of Shemot, which is the introductory chapter of the laws given to the people of Israel. And I'm sure all of you know the first Rashi in the Chumash, which says that, the Torah could have started with the 12th chapter of Exodus.
Why?
Because the Torah is mainly intended to give a pattern of life to the kingdom of priests, to the people of Israel. And what is described in the book of Genesis, book of Bereshit, in the first 11 chapters of Shemot, is an introduction to the way in which people say, how odd of God to choose the Jews. I was said by Nadisimite, so a Jewish wit responded, it's not so odd, the Jews chose God. So the Jews, Abraham Avinu, and carrying on his descendants, those amongst the descendants who really chose God, can continue. And then the people of Israel were redeemed from Egypt. And then they were given when they've been demonstrated in Egypt the enormous divine providence in human history, that even the wise men and the magicians of Egypt recognized that the world is governed by the hand of God, the fingers of God, and mankind was taught that God is a God who wants humanity to serve Him and not to become slaves to the power of evil. And as the Rambam describes, Paro is the personification of the evil inclination amongst mankind, which can only be removed, as Paro was told, if you've got to recognize God and follow Him. The people of Israel are referred to as the firstborn of God because they're the first nation, as a nation, that recognized and spread the fatherhood of God. The others have gone about it. So we read in chapter 12 of Bereshit, of Shemot, and not only does it say there the importance of the month of Nisan, which is the month of Nisim, the miracle, but it describes in more detail, yes, on page
75,
what should be done on the Seder night, the day before. So we're going to, where do we really start today also preparing for Pesach? It's when it says here, look, it says you've got to bring the offering and so on. It says here, it says, if you turn to page 76, you turn here to the voice of what it's, because it says, it describes a specific service which took place in Egypt. But then it says in verse 14, this day should be for you a constant commemoration. Here, who's being addressed? Not only the Am Yisrael who were in Egypt, here the address is being given to the nation as a whole, that they should commemorate that night forever. It says you'd celebrate it as a celebration ledorotichem, for all your generations, chukat olam tzachaguhu. This is going to be a statute forever. Another Seder night with which it's mentioned here. But then what is it? Which aspect remains forever? What, the Korban Pesach could be brought forever? No, the Korban Pesach mentioned before, that was something specific. Could only be applied in Egypt and afterwards could be applied when there was a temple. When there's no temple, when Jews are scattered all over the world, you've got to celebrate the Seder night, Shivat Yamim, for 7 days you have to eat matzot. This verse is the significant, but on the day before Pesach, or really we can say, Pesach really starts on the 14th of Nisan. Why? You tell me.
Checking.
Check you can have Chagah Pesach starts on the 14th. Why? Not so much because of that. Chagah Pesach. It's called Chagah Pesach.
The chumash. You have to bring the sacrifice.
That's the time
sacrifice.
When you've got to bring the Korban Pesach. And you don't eat it until the night, but you bring it as a Korban to the holy place. Or in Egypt, the house was the holy place. And you had to sprinkle the blood. So you had to prepare everything the day before. But it's also Chagah Matzot. When does Chagah Matzot begin? Which day?
14th.
Only the 15th. On the 14th,
you don't eat
matzah.
Until the night.
It's the custom that nobody eats matzah on the 14th. We only eat matzah on the 15th, Seder night. So, what does it say here though? But what do you, it says, Bayom HaRishon, before the eating of the matzah, it says, for 7 days you eat matzah, but beforehand, you have to remove the chometz. Verse 15. Ach, by Yom Rishon, on the first day, you have to. By Yom Rishon, then it says. Where does it say? I'm sorry, I missed it. Verse 15. Ach, by Yom Rishon, tashpit to saom ibatechem. You have to remove yeast from your homes. Now. Externally, what does it mean? You've got to remove anything that contains any form of comics. So all is the yeast that causes the dough to rise. And the law is, even if you don't use yeast, but if you allow fermenting goes on. If you mix flour with water, and that fermenting, mixing flour with water, even different in yeast, but it becomes swollen. In other words, certain fermentation exists in the grain, and as a result, it becomes swollen naturally. Now, the concept of this is developed by the sages. The sages say about the people of Israel, we want to fulfill your will, but what is stopping us? The all should be Isa. The yeast, which is in the dough, stops us, makes us swell-headed and swell-hearted. We think, my ego is my God. That means people worship their own selves. When they worship their own materialistic interests. That my guide in life, my main motivation, is to fulfill my own ego. So that it's the instinct of self pride and arrogance. That's all. And that applies to the individual, applies also to the nation. So, because when we come to be the nation of Hashem, we have to learn humility. We have to learn that we are servants of Hashem. By being servants of Hashem, we reach the highest level. But if not, we become servants to our materialistic inclination, as most people are. However, there's a natural self-centeredness of the human being. So and also a natural self-centeredness of people who develop their national ego. As a result, they say we must build up our own self-image. and also the image which he put onto mankind, how important we are. And this often leads, and can even lead, to the level of the Islamic State. Islam, as happened to the Nazis, Deutschland über alles, you know, more important than any other group. And the people of Israel are warned already right at the start, don't think you're greater than the other nations. You've got to be priests to Hashem. And also have a priestly approach, that means one of service to the nation. And service to Hashem goes together. But if you think that you are the greatest and most powerful people in the world, then you are following the ways of the nations. And in the end that becomes destructive. So this all hinted at in the removal of chometz. In fact, it's a custom when we burn the chometz. How do you remove chometz? You can burn it if you see it, but you've got to search for it. Since you've got to remove everything, make a search. So we have, prior to even having the Seder, we have to fulfill this mitzvah of bio chametz. But how do you do it? You've got to search for it. Whatever you find, you've got to burn or eat it before the time. Or you can sell it. Or sell it to give it. Non-Jewish world, okay, they're not expected to keep Pesach. Yeah? It's you, the Jewish people. You've got to dedicate yourself as the firstborn son of Hashem, the one who will teach mankind through your own example how to live the highest level of a saintly life, which have an enormous power to influence all the nations of the world. So therefore, that's what we have to do. So Omri Batechem. So the first, I'll carry this on, this concept. The first Mishnah in Tractate Pesachim. And Pesachim, the Mishnah is the Pesachim, is the ancient oral commentary on the verses of the Chumash. And also it begins, Pesachim, Ola Ba'asa, Bodkin et Hachamet, Bechol Makom Shemachlis Lechomet. That means, it says actually the light of the 14. But this is euphemistic. It means when the 14th of Nisan comes along, it says by Yom Hashanah you've got to start working to remove it. So what do we do when it gets dark? When it gets dark, after the 13th of Nisan, we're coming to sunset, and that brings us into entry into the 14th of Nisan. Then we conduct a search, Le'or Haner, by the light of the candle. So you have to search in all the nooks and crannies. So already the ancient commentators say, you've got to remove the saw. You've got to remove the power of the Yetzer Hara. How can a person remove the power of the Yetzer Hara? If you look also in the Agadic passages that carry on in the first chapter of Pesachim, who describe the concept of what it means, the Ner. The Ner is two things. It's the Neshama is called the lamp, and the Torah is called the lamp. What is it? In modern terms, it's fantastic how today the inner power of the Torah is being expressed by the greatest minds of mankind. Viktor Frankl, I've referred to a few times, his later work is on a far higher level than his earlier work, which became so important to introduce logotherapy, search for meaning. You can say search for meaning is how can a person really find meaning in life. His second work is called The Unconscious God. And there, in that work, he develops the concept that the unconscious God is in the soul of the human being. That's the unconscious God. It's just using a bit more psychological terminology, which is all the way through, to describe what it says at the beginning of the Chumash, that man was created in the image of God, which means the human being has within him, every human being got a conscience. But the conscience, that's the Ner Hashem. It's the light of Hashem inside a person, is his conscience. You know, it's called Matzpun. I tell you, what's in modern Hebrew? It's called the conscience. And what is a matzpen? What a matzpen is? Yeah. What is it?
The thing that points to
the north. It's a compass.
Compass, yeah.
A compass, how to know directions. So we can really say, a person wants to have directions in life, let him get to the roots of his soul, to his matzpun. The matzpun will give him the highest level of direction. And this is what it says in the Chumash concerning Egyptian society, who were called worshiping idols in the time of Avraham Avinu. So Avraham Avinu, okay, they're going to kill me, you know, I've got a beautiful wife, he read it, it's really the beauty star on the highest level. And in Egypt, the custom was, that goes to the harem of the emperor, of Pharaoh. If you take it. So what will they do? Here comes a couple, you know, and she's so beautiful. So we'll have to kill the husband. Nothing much to kill, you know. What did they say? He said, I know there's no Yirat Hashem, Yirat Elohim in this place. What means Yirat Elohim? It's a place filled with idols. But Yirat Elohim is used, also by Amalek, later Pasha, Amalek, Lo Yare Elohim, it said. What does it mean? Yirat Elohim is used throughout the Tanakh to refer specifically to the morality of the nations of the world. They don't follow it. They don't follow the Noahide code. They have got no morality. And for them to kill people, if it suits them, they'll kill people. That's what they do. And that's why today, what goes on, mainly in the Middle East, you know, they don't care about killing themselves or killing people. In direct contradiction to the Noahide code, which is mentioned, some aspect of the Noahide code we know from oral tradition. But this aspect of the Noahide code is emphasized after the deluge in the Chumash, in Genesis. It's created. And today, unfortunately, we're experiencing this, where people who claim they're following Allah, they're just murdering even innocent victims, murdering themselves, murdering innocent victims, and murdering in the most cruel manner, and don't care about blowing up thousands of people, even hundreds of thousands of people. The cult of death. So we as Jews, we're off the other way, and we believe in life. We believe in listening to the unconscious God, which is called the Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. In order, however, we're very fortunate. Why are we fortunate? Because Hashem has given us Kineh Mitzvah V'Torah Or. Hashem has given us Mitzvah to do and Torah to learn. And Torah is Lehudim Haita Orah. Torah spreads enlightenment on the highest level in the moral sphere. All the mitzvahs do it. Mitzvahs teach us the discipline and bring us to the inner light of life. So therefore there's a parallel between the soul, the human being, and the Torah. And that is why we have revealed in the Torah, both in words, as well, words which are written down, as well as in traditions that are passed on. So Hashem revealed, because he's the creator of man. He is really the only one who can help human beings how to uncover what's in their souls. Some people come to it of their own. It's true, some great saints work on themselves and come to recognize it. But these are very rare. So what Hashem do? It's recorded. He revealed himself to Noach, and then Noach, Moshe Rabbeinu was asked, please record it. Write it down. What's the Noahide code? Then it's recognized we've got to have a people, a model nation, to produce a model state. So therefore, not only is it written, all the special laws that govern the priestly people, which is the people of Israel, they're all written down in detail, and even in more detail through oral tradition. So that mankind will have in its possession not only the Decalogue, which also came with the consciousness of the vast majority of human beings, not only the Noahide code, which also some human beings have really studied, but it should be materialized, brought from the spiritual level to the external level in the laws that will govern the moral society to be established by the people of Israel to strengthen the power of the soul to rule and give motivation and be the matzpun will become the matzpen. The conscience of the Jewish people will become a sense to give them direction. Wherever they are, they'll know which way to go. They'll know whether to go right or whether to go left. One of the problems today, should we go right or should we go left? It depends on which sense. For that, you have a compass. The stone is a compass. Okay. So this is the greatness of this interpretation of the first Mishnah brought in Pesachim, which also really the first proper mitzvah we fulfilled on Erev Pesach. To search for the chometz, to nullify it, to sell it, and to burn it. And you look in the prayer, which you're all going to say, when you burn the chometz, we say, in the merit of this mitzvah, wherein we are destroying the evil of the evil inclination over our lives, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will redeem us from all troubles in our time. That's the prayer that accompanies the burning of the chometz. And person ought to say for himself, it's personal as well, you should help me not to be enslaved to any aspect of the evil inclination. As the Chovat HaLevavot uses these words in the Hebrew translation, O Adam Eved LeYotzro, or whoever the Yitzro. A person in life's got the choice. He can be a slave to his creator. And if not, he'll be a slave to his own lower, materialistic, corrupt inclinations. So that's the choice we have. So that's all. Now, I'm going to follow here now. Just say a few words to start it off. I'm fortunate Hashem has gave me the zchut to be a great grandson of one of the greatest giants in Torah of the previous generations. There are no other great grandsons except my brother. That's his. That's how it turns out. And I must say that my whole life, whatever I can do, is probably his zechut, is his merit. Because he was a giant. He was a giant in mastery of Torah. He wrote the major later commentaries on some of the hardest tractates of the Shas Bavli, the Orchon there. And it's called, even more known by his work than by his real name, because he was called, his name was Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. And I'll tell you one thing, which is even a small matter, but, you know, this is such an important principle when you think what's going on today. His first work that he wrote, said Rav Akiva Eiger, who's well known, one of the greatest minds also of those few generations ago, he wrote notes on his first work, the Kuri Yaakov. And his first work is quoted in the Laws of Sukkah and Lulav in the Mishnah Brunel. It's quoted by the major authorities. There was a great halachic expert in halacha. He was very great in explaining the Gemara, but derech hapshat, and not in a manner of going too much into pilpulim. And he wrote many shutim or responsa. But in addition to that, he was also a great darshan. And why I want to do it this year, because as follows. When I came into Eretz Israel, so I published a manuscript of his commentary on the Haggadah, Pesach, of Drush. It's an interpretation that just seeks to take moral teachings from different verses in the Tanakh and sayings of the sages. So I want now to enter into his development of this concept of the removal of chometz, which it goes into quite deeply. We'll see soon, or perhaps it will be next year. So I produced that from a manuscript. It wasn't so clear everything, And now we've been preparing for some years, especially my son Yehuda, who had become an expert in these things. We hope to produce it this year. It's becoming a volume of over 200 pages. So that's why I brought here this Haggadah out of print. I'll just tell you, and as an example, I mean, it's on a, the commentary is difficult for a beginner because he, you know, it's sort of given on a high scholastic level. But Chaim Kanievsky, he very much goes into it because his father, you know, his father called the Stipler. I had the zechus to know the Stipler quite well. I went to him quite often. Stipler was the father of Chaim Kanievsky. And he was regarded in his time as one of the greatest gedolim of this generation. And people went to him for many brachot. And not only that, he was a great expert in medical things. I mean, he never went to school. But he, in fact, even when it came to someone who had to have brain surgery, so he advised this person, the Stipler, what to do, different to what the doctors had given up on him. He advised him what to do, and he was healed. I know when I went to him also, he had whole notes written out on medical matters. And he was a brother-in-law of the Chazon Ish. I did not merit to meet the Chazon Ish, because when I first came as a Bachur to Eretz Yisrael to learn, he died the year before. But of course, the Chazon Ish, like you've got a Shiva here on his name, down the road, and he was a terrific Gaon. And the brother-in-law was Reb Yankov Kanievsky. So he had this Haggadah on the Seder table every year. So it's a deep Sefer. And that's why I've given you here a page concerning this subject. So I'll just, on the right side, Chet, he speaks here about something which we have to do to prepare ourselves not to have any chomets even in the vessels that we use. Yeah. It's called Hagalat Kelim. You find before Pesach, they'll have in every community center, they'll have a huge cauldron of boiling water, and anyone, of course, you can have your special utensils that you use for Pesach, but those who don't have them, there are many utensils which you can kasher. Although they've been used for chomets, but there's a way of kashering. And all the hotels in Israel, they have to go beforehand and kasher all the vessels, kasher the kitchen. You know, if you've had trade for for many years, and you want to go over to kosher, you need to kasher the stove, and kasher the sinks. And if you want to use the same vessels, there's different laws about vessels. Mentioned the chumash already. Yep. And that's an annual procedure every Erev Pesach in Jewish communities to keep Pesach properly. And in any restaurant or hotel that is made ready for kosher and Pesach, whatever level of kosher, they have to kosher. And we hear in yeshiva, we've got certain vessels that we keep for Pesach. And others, we do kashering as well. Everyone has to do that. But that is deeper moral aspect, because this whole concept of, you know, also, if you get any vessel that's been manufactured by non-Jews, you have to do tevila. The vessel that you use for food should also be used for holiness. But I'm not going to, this is in Heksha Kelim, in general. He goes into this in detail, but I'm going to go over to the next page, where Bedikat of Biochametz. We have to prepare ourselves. The whole concept of Pesach is the annual renewal of the people of Israel. Every year we renew our attachment to Hashem. You know, it's I just tell you, unfortunately, there are so many who have not been reared properly in these concepts of the importance. Nevertheless, I'll say this for the merit of the first Prime Minister of Israel. He carried with him, generally speaking, especially when he had to speak to non-Jews, he carried the Tanakh with him. And he loved quoting from the Tanakh. Which was a good point. So one of his speeches, when he was in front of some commission, the United Nations, concerning establishing the State of Israel, before it was established, he always spoke up very strongly that the land of Israel has been promised to us. So he once said the following, when he had critics amongst the judges who made decisions concerning, you know, partition of the land of Israel, how much Jews will get. So he said, you know, you in America, what type of history do you have from America? Does anyone in America know about the Mayflower? Well, no. You know the year when it happened. And do you know when the Mayflower, when the first Puritans came to America to establish the United States? Do you know what food they had to eat there? You don't. But we do. When it comes to, we know everything. Yeah? We've got a charter that shows us how the Jewish people existed and how they started. When it started as a nation in Egypt, we know what diet they had, and we keep on the diet until they will the exact date and time when they could get out of Egypt. And then from Egypt they wandered through the desert, and God gave them this land. So this land is based on so much history, an unbroken chain of Jewish history. We know it, but we don't even know it. We reenact it. Yeah, on the Seder night, every Jew reenacts the Exodus from Egypt. And I wanted to say this also now. I'll say it in his praise. I read through an account, including not just the talk of our present Prime Minister, still the Prime Minister, but also the responses, the applause and so on. I read it, so I got it all from the internet. And it's just fantastic. Fantastic. And now I understand. The truth is he insisted on keeping to that date. Why couldn't he postpone it after the elections? Because one of his messages was, he gave it on Erev Purim, Erev Tanis Esther. Yeah. So he said, he compared him. Esther, she pleaded to the king. She also went in with great, she went to Shalok Adat. She went and she didn't want to go in to speak to the king. He said the rule of the Persian Empire in the palace was very strict, and no one was allowed to go in to speak to the king, the emperor, unless he was called beforehand. And generally you can only go in later. It's too early. What, after 30 days you go in already? So Mordechai said, no, you've got to go in now. Who knows, you know, go in now. Don't delay it. Don't delay it, go in now. And she went in, and she pleaded room for a nation. So he said, I'm pleading to mankind, save mankind, and if they save my nation, we can't wait. We can't wait when we know that every day that goes on, it can become worse. So he followed literally what it says in the Megillah, he quoted it as well. And he ends his whole speech by saying, God bless America, God bless Israel. very, very moving speech. So, when it comes to Pesach, going back to this, Pesach is the annual renewal of strengthening our bond with the people of Israel from its beginning to its future. That's what our life depends upon. The question is, if Batikot B'Chametz is the first line here, when you come to analyze the search and destruction of Chametz, how can a person have a new heart? Leiv Chadash, because they developed through the idea that the essence of Pesach is renewal. The renewal of our bond with Hashem as part of the nation of Israel. How does it achieve it? So he says this power of Teshuvah. The Chometz teaches us. So also, feel Chametz, let's get rid. Chametz is considered the Sorship Isa, the swollen head and the swollen heart, the power of pride and arrogance. How can we remove it? So that we'll have to leave to the next chapter.
Shakar.
I'd be grateful if you keep one of them, put in your notes. Nobody wants to keep, give them back to me. Thank you very much.